I think last time we got to the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Amud Beis. I think so. I think we got to the Mishnah. Yeah. This Mishnah is about an inyan of Tumah V'Tara, but it's relevant halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh in different areas. Let's see. Behema shemeis ubra b'toch meyah. You have a cow that's pregnant, and the fetus inside the rechem died. So the din is that a dead human being is metame b'maga b'masa b'ohel. A dead behema is metame b'maga u'b'masa. So let's say the shepherd sticks in his hand, v'hoshet haroya es yodoy, v'nogabo, the shepherd sticks in his hand into the rechem of the behema, and he touches the dead fetus. So is it metame? So the Tanakhama, so it's a machlokes hatanoim. So the Tanakhama says, Beim behema tmei, beim behema tor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a cow or a camel, a kosher animal, non-kosher animal. The din is tahora. The uber, the dead uber, calls man it's inside. After the uber will be removed from the rechem, then it's metame. But calls man it's still inside the rechem, it's not metame. Rabbi Yosef Glili distinguishes. He says it depends. Is it a dead uber inside a behemoth tmeya, an elephant? It's inside a horse, inside a donkey, a non-kosher animal, then it is metame. But if it's b'tahara, if it's a fetus inside a cow, inside a lamb, inside a sheep, b'tahara tahor. Yeah. So the Gemara wants to know, my time in Tanakhama. Why does the Tanakhama say that when the shepherd sticks his hand in, he doesn't become tamei? So Rashi is going to explain right away this, where it says in the Rashi Gemara, Kal v'chaymer. So Rashi explains let's take a look at the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah, Ayin Aleph Amin Aleph. There's a Mishnah, the second, the bottom half of the daf. Uisha Shemeis V'lodah B'toch Me'yehu. A woman is pregnant. She goes to the doctor for a checkup. The doctor says the baby has no heartbeat, that the uber inside is not alive anymore. Hoisha Shemeis V'lodah B'toch Me'yehu. Uposhta Chaya. Chaya is the Mi'aledes. Chaya is the midwife. And someone, the doctor, whoever, the midwife, sticks her hand inside the rechem, and she touches the behemi. It touches the baby, the dead baby. So the Mishnah says, "Hachaya tmeya tuma shiva." If you become tamei, if you go to a funeral, if you come in contact with a meis odom, if you come in contact with a meis on a behema, it's metame, you can go to mikveh that day. You need harav shemesh. But if you come in contact with a meis odom, you tamei for 7 days. You have to go to mikveh. But in order that the mikveh should be metar, you have to first have somebody has to be mazeh paraduma water on you. Hazor shlishi shvi. Let's say you went to a funeral on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Wednesday is the third day. And next week on Sunday is the seventh day. You have to have someone. He's a tohar ala tamei. An odom tohar. It doesn't have to be a kohen. A toher has to be mazah, the paraduma water on me. I went to the funeral. You have to wait at least till the third day. You can wait 30 years. But you have to wait at least till the third day. And then 4 days later, you have a hazo on the seventh day. And then you can go to mikveh. Then you can just go to mikveh to become toher. So the Mishnah says, unlike by the behemah, that the Tanakhama says, if the shepherd sticks his hand in and he touches the dead uba by the behemah, he's toher. By the isha, if the doctor or the midwife sticks a hand at Pashti Yodah, when Ogabo, she touches the dead baby, she's Tmeya Tuma Shiva. Isha Tohara, but the woman, so what about the mother herself who's pregnant with this dead baby? So she's in the same house with the dead baby, so a mace is Matami Ba'ohel. So it says, no, this mace is not Matami Ba'ohel. Why not? By the Behema, a dead Nevela, the Behema is only Matami B'mago U'B'masa. So the shepherd who sticks his hand in, he did maga. The other people in the same, let's say they're in the same barn, they're under the same roof, but the mace of a behema, nivlas behema, is not matami boha. So the only discussion is only on the shepherd. But here, a mace adam is not only matami b'mago or b'maso. Maso, let's say maga is if you're touching, if you're wearing gloves, so there's no maga. But if you push it, that's maso. If you pick it up, that's maso. And ohel is if you're in the same room. So the Mishnah says, what about the pregnant mother whose fetus is not allowed? Well, isha tohira, atchiyetze havlad. How come the isha is tohira, atchiyetze havlad, till the vlad comes out? Because money's inside is tohir. So the Gemara has Rashi over here on the top of Ayinam and Beis. Rashi tells you there's a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel on the next daf, and I'm based on it all. So this is a big machlokes. What's the din of Tumah Blua? Tumah Blua, there are two kinds of cases. One example is if a woman is pregnant and she finds out that the baby died. There's no more heartbeat, the baby died. So that's Tumah Blua inside the Rechem. Then there's another kind of Tumah Blua. Let's say a person or an animal swallows something that's tummy. Let's say a dog swallows a chunk of kazayis min ames, and it didn't have a chance yet to be digested inside the stomach of the dog. After a while, the enzymes from the stomach will work on the food and it's going to disintegrate. But let's say the dog just swallowed a kazayis min ames and it's still there. So that's called Tumah Blua. Tumah Blua means either Blua in the Rechem or Blua in the stomach. Or let's say a person went to a funeral and he's wearing a ring. So a ring is a kli, it's a tachshit, that's Mekabel Tumah. So the mace is Avi Avoy Satumah. And the ring is made from Matechah, so there's a din of Cherev Harei Kecholo. If it's a kli Matechah, so it doesn't go down a Madreg, and Tumah retains the same level of Tumah. So the mace is called Avi Avoy Satumah. So the ring is also Avi Avoy Satumah. The person who attends the funeral is only an Av HaTumah. Because whenever Tumah is transmitted, it goes down a Madrega. If I come in contact with an Avi Avoy, I become an Av. If I touch someone, I come home from the funeral, I touch someone else, they become a Rishon LeTumah. The Rishon touches food, it becomes a Sheni LeTumah. And so on. Sheni touches something else, makes a Shlishi, always goes down. And the exception to the rule is Cherev Harei Kecholo. Cherev Harei Kecholo is a pasuk in Chumash. If a person touches b'chalal cherev, or b'meis, if you touch a person who is killed by a sword, or b'meis, a person died a natural death. So at the beginning of Parshas Chukas. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, I touch either a dead body, a person that died on his own, naturally, I touch a dead body, a person who was murdered, b'chalal cherev. So the Tanoi made a drasha. Why would I think that there's a difference whether he was murdered or he died a natural death? So they have a drasha, halal cheret, cheret harei kecholo. If it's a metal sword, that was not only the metal sword with which he was killed, the murder weapon, even if it's not the murder weapon. If you have someone's wearing a ring and he goes to a funeral, so the mace is avi avoy satum, and the ring becomes avi avoy satum if it's in the same room, whether the ring touches the mace or oihal a mace, it becomes also avi avoy satum. So the
you have to have
Hazor Shlishi Shvi and Tvila, yeah. What's an afkamina? Mean for Kohen?
I mean, we wash our hands afterwards, right?
Wash our hands, that's a meaning because of Ruach Ro, yeah. But what's it going to help? You're going to make it...
It doesn't make a difference anymore. It doesn't help.
Yeah, everybody's tamei mace anyway. It does make a difference. The Kohanim are not allowed to be mitamei to a mace. They are permitted to become tamei tumas mace. Here, the Cherev Harei Kechol has tumas mace, but it's not an actual mace. Right. The Rambam calls that atzmashal mace. The Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the actual mace, atzmashal mace. Tumas mace is allowed to come in contact. Let's say in this week's Seder, Parshas Metzora. So Metzora is hukash lemace. When Miriam became Metzoras and Parshas Baaloischa, so Moshe Rabbeinu offers a tefillah, al tihina ka mace. Yes, the Rebbeinu Shalom, don't let my sister be like a mace. So did Moshe Rabbeinu exactly say those words? Not necessarily so, but the Rebbeinu Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu right in the Chumash that he said that tefillah. So we should learn out the din. We're not learning din from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu exact. He's not the one who formulates the halachas. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom told him, write this in the Chumash. Could be that it's a paraphrase. Could be that Moshe Rabbeinu never said that. But the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, write that you offer the tefillah atinu kameis to teach us that a mitzvah is kishlameis. Just like a mace is metame ba'ohel, So to a mitzvah is also metame a little bit. We call it bebiya, call aboel ha'ohel. If the mitzvah is sitting in an ohel, and I come into that ohel, so I become tame also. Something like tumas ohel, not exactly the same. Let's say if we're sitting in the room, the chevek kadisha take a mace, they're running. They run through, they enter that door and they run out that door. And they're running with the mace never sits still. So if it's a mace, everybody becomes tame. But if it will be a mitzvah is running through the room, we would be tohar. It's only michutz lamachne moishavai. If the mitzvah is sitting still in a room, then the people in the room are tame. That's a mitzvah is sitting still in the room, and the tohar is running through the room. So the whole room has tumas ohel of the mitzvah. But we call it a different lashon. We don't call it tumas ohel. We call it tumas bia. It's metami kol aboel ha'ohel. Why? So the Minchas Chinuch says to distinguish that it's not exactly the same as Tumas Meis, there are two differences. One difference is, let's say the Mitzvah wants to daven a shul. So he wants to daven Tvila B'tzibur. He's not allowed to enter into a city that's Mukav Chaim and Moshe Shul Benu. Most of the cities in the world are not Mukav Chaim. A city Mukav Chaim and Moshe Shul Benu is only in Eretz Yisrael. If it's a Chutz Lord, there is no such din. For Mikra Megillah, it applies. Kriyas HaMegillah, you read the Megillah on Tezvav, on Shushan Purim. In any city that's Mukav Chaim Ma'aseh Shul Benu, even if this city is in Chutz Lartz, and more talks about cities in Bavel. But for this din, that a Mitzvah is not allowed to enter a city that's Mukav Chaim Ma'aseh Shul Benu, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. Other cities, the Mitzvah is allowed to be. So let's say the Mitzvah lives in a city. So Ra'as is not a contagious thing. It's not leprosy. Leprosy is contagious. So the leper can't be near anybody who doesn't want to get sick. But Zeras is not contagious. It's a din. He has to be Mishtaler. Chutz L'Ayar Zamekav Yisrael. So let's say he lives in a normal city. He wants to go daven a shul. He's going to daven a shul with everybody else. They're all going to become tamei ba'ohel. But if he davens in the women's section, they're davening in the men's section, that's okay. But the mechitz is only so high. And if it would have been a mace on one side, or there would be a mace in that room, and we're sitting in this room, the tumah would go, because the door is wide open. Tumah would go through from one room to the other. By mitzvah, you don't have that din. By mitzvah, the din is only if he's in the same room. So if you have a mechitza that's attached to the ground and it separates between the men's section and the women's section, and the mitzvah runs into the shul, he doesn't stand still. He runs quickly and he goes into the women's section. There are no women there. And then the men come into the men's section. So because he's in a different room, even though the two rooms are open, one into the other, so Tumas Meis there would be, but Tumas Tzaras you wouldn't have. So the Chumash records that Moshe Rabbeinu offered a prayer, Atina Kameis. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's what he said, but the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, write that to teach Bnei Yisrael Adoris that a Metzorah has a din like a Mesa. If he has a din like a Mesa, a Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the Metzorah? No, it says in the Parsha, in the beginning of Parsha's Metzorah, when the Metzorah becomes Tohar, so the Kohen has to go Mechutz Lamachne, and he's going to come in contact with them, the Metzorah is going to be sitting still, he's going to be in the same room, he's going to become Tameh. He's not prohibited from coming. From becoming Tomei Tumas Meis. He's prohibited from coming in contact with an actual Meis, what the Rama calls Atzma Shal Meis. So by Mitzvah, you have Tumas Meis without Atzma Shal Meis. The same thing as if you have Cherev Arei Kechol, if a person went to a funeral. So the Meis is Avi Avos HaTum, and the person went becomes an Avatum, but the ring that he's wearing, the watch that he's wearing, the metal kalim, become Avi Avos HaTum. That's the din, the Tumah, when it's transmitted to a Kli Mateches, doesn't go down a Madregas, it has the same level of Tumah. So if a Kohen will come in contact with the ring, he'll become an Av HaTumah. That's permissible, though. That's what we call, that's what the Baal HaTesis quoted. There's a Braisa Maseches Mochas that says, Kol Tumah Sheina Nozim Maseches Mochas is Hilchus Avelis. So Loshon Sagi Noor, instead of calling Hilchus Avelis, they call Hilchus Mochas. So Maseches Mochas was written by the Gaon Eretz Yisrael. So we don't always follow what they write. But they wrote in their they wrote braces, so they wrote in the Maseches Machas called Tumah Sheina Nozir Megaleach Aleha and Akoy Muzu Aleha. By the Nozir, if the Nozir becomes Tomei Meis, the Nozir is permitted to come in contact with other Nevelas. He's permitted to become Tomei with other Tumah, only not allowed to come in contact with Tumas Meis. So the din is the Chiyom is Meis Ola Befes HaPisam. If the Nozir comes in contact with a Meis, so you have to discount. Anyway, let's say he's supposed to be a Nozer for 100 days. He already counted 90 days. He only has 10 days left to go. And then accidentally somebody dies and becomes Tamei. Says, Hayame Hosharim Yitlo. The 90 days don't count. He has to start all over again. He has to bring Karbanis and Ziris Nozer Tamei. and then he has to start all over again. So the Mishnah says this is only if he came in contact with an actual mace. If he came in contact with a cherev erek echolo or something like that, he becomes tummy tumas mace. Or let's say a nazir is counting 100 days naziris, and in the middle of the 100 days, after 50 days, he becomes a mitzora. So mitzora is hukish lemace. So the whole time that he's a mitzora is not oila for the naziris. Just like when he's a tummy mace, it's not oila. So when he's a mitzora, the Mishnah is also not oila. But after the tzaraz goes away, it may take a couple of months, may take a couple of years. When the tumas tzaraz goes away, he only has to be mashlim the 50 days that he was missing. He already counted 50 days before he became a mitzora. So what happened to usually when a nozer becomes tummy mace, he has to bring special karbon. When the tumas mace is over, has to bring karbonas nozer tummy. And you say Hayom Hashanim Yitli starts all over again. But if it's a Tumas She'ein Anoza Megalech Aleo, so the din is that the days of Tumas Meis are not Oile for the 100 days of the Naziris or whatever, however long, 30 days, a minimum of 30 days of Naziris, not Oile, but let's say he became a Mitzorah, so the days that he's a Mitzorah, Hukish Lameis, it's not Oile, just like Tumas Meis, not Oile, but he doesn't have to start all over again, he doesn't have to bring Karbonus Naziris Tumah. So that's what it says in the Brisa that was written by the Goinim, that Kol Tumah Shein Anoza Megalech Aleh, if it's not Asim Shomais, Ein HaKoyin Muzra Aleh. And there's a famous Rabbi in the Tam and a few different Mesichtas and Brachas and in Exubis and other Mesichtas where the Rabbi in the Tam says the Goinim are wrong. He doesn't accept what it says in Maseches Brachas. The Goinim are wrong that the mace, the Koyin is not allowed to come in contact with any Tumas mace. Yeah, so what does he do with the Parsha? The Kohen comes in contact with the Mitzorah, he's permitted to. So that's different. When you come in contact with the Mitzorah, true, it's Metame Be'ohel, it's Hukesh Lameis, but you don't need Hazor Shlishi Shvi, you don't need Poraduma water. So that the Rabbi Nilham agrees to that. The Kohen is permitted to come, to become Tomei Tuma, Kabel Tuma from a Mitzorah. He just disagrees with the Goyim. He holds you're not allowed to come, become the Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei Tumas Meis, even if it's not Atzma Shel Meis. That's what he disagrees. But if he becomes Tomei Tumas Meis, there isn't even a dead body there. It's Mitzora Hukish Lameis. That the Rabbein Tam also agrees that the Kohen is permitted to become Tomei like that, like a Kohen is permitted to become Tomei to a dead mouse. So one of them is a dead mouse. A dead mouse is metame. So a kohen is allowed to handle a dead mouse. He's not allowed to come in contact with a mace. So a metzora is not called a mace. Nachum. Yeah, according to Rabbi Natam, people used to die at home years ago. Until recently, now everybody dies in the hospital. Years ago, so people died at home. In every home, when the person would die, there are forks and knives that are metal. So the Rab Chaim, Rabbi Natam, and Nishgiven King Koin. So Rab Chaim Koin was a Talmud Rabbi Natam. So he said, you made it impossible to enter any house in Europe. He wrote Melitza. The Rabbi Chaim Koin already moved. He used to learn by Rabbi Natam, then he moved to a different city. So he wrote him a letter, where can I enter? Every house in Europe, someone must have died at some time or another. And there are all these. Some metal kalim, pots and pans, forks and knives, and you say that a kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a cherev or erek echol, so you make an impact. Rabbi Natam wasn't thinking, and this Gvenkin kohen said it didn't bother him. So Rabbi Chaim Kohen said, that's impossible, you can't say like that, right? Right. So here the Gemara quotes on Dafayim Beis Amud Aleph. This is a machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. We usually paskan like Rabbi Kiva. Here we don't. Here we paskan like Rabbi Shmuel. That Tuma Blua is not Mitame. If the dog swallowed Kizayis Menames and it didn't have a chance to be digested yet, and the dog is inside a room, and the other people in the same room, it's not Mitame Bo. Even though Kizayis Menames is Mitame Bo Ohel, it's not Mitame Bo because it's Tuma Blua. Or let's say someone went to a funeral and he was wearing a ring. And the ring became Avi Avos HaTuma. So the ring could be Mitame Bo'ohel. So someone swallowed the ring. You're not supposed to. Somebody swallowed the ring. It's in his stomach. And it's going to come out the other end later. Because when it didn't come out, it's in the stomach. So then the person goes to in a room and someone else is in the same room. So do you say the ring is inside my stomach? And the ring is Avi Avos HaTuma. Because Cherev HaRei Kecholo. So the other people in the room are Mekabel Tuma, Tumas Ohel. So we pasken like Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Akiva, that that's called Tuma Belua. Tuma Belua is not Mekabel Tuma. Tuma Belua is not Mekabel Tuma. And Tara Belua. Tara Belua is also not Mekabel Tuma. Let's say I swallowed a ring that's Tahor, and I went to a funeral. So I became Tumah. So the ring that I'm wearing becomes Avi Avos HaTumah. The ring that's in my stomach does not become Avi Avos HaTumah. Tumah Belua is not Metameh. And Tara Belua is not Metameh. Whatever is Belua is Kemisha Eino. It's considered as if it doesn't exist. Not only Belua in the Rechem, a fetus in the Rechem, Belua in the stomach is also called Belua. It's a din in, let's say, a person wants to go to mikveh, a woman wants to go to mikveh. So she has a chatzitza, so she has to remove all the chatzitzas from the surface of the body. What happens if there's a chatzitza inside the mouth? So the din is that when a person goes to the mikveh, they don't have to, man or woman, they don't have to open up their mouth. They don't have to let water into the mouth. They don't have to open up their eyes. They don't have to open up their ears either. They can put an ear plug in, prevent the water from going into the ear. Because that's called Beis HaStorim, deep into the ear. The outside of the ear is Mibachutz, but inside the ear, that's called Beis HaStorim. And Beis HaStorim doesn't require Bias Maim. The inside of the mouth, and you don't have to open up your eyes, and the bottom of the foot is also called Beis HaStorim. You don't have to worry about the fact. So women, the Rosh HaMishnayis Mikvos quotes a practice. Some of the women used to jump in the mikveh, they used to jump so that if below their feet, if a person is heavy, so when his feet, let's say a person goes into the mikveh and he's heavy, so there's no water in between the bottom of his foot and the floor of the mikveh, because he's heavy, so the feet are pressing down against the ground. So if the person is so short that by the time he got it to the mikveh, till his feet landed on the bottom, his head was already below the surface of the water. So there was a second, there was a split second that the whole body was submerged under the water before the feet touched the floor. But what if it's not such a deep mikveh? His feet are touching the floor and he's heavy, so the feet are pressing against the floor. There's no water on the bottom. And then he lowers his head, so now the head and the top of the body is submerged under the water, so there's no water under the feet now. So the Rosh HaMishnah says that doesn't pose a problem. The bottom of the feet is also called Beis HaStorim. Some of the women had a practice. They would jump in the mikveh to make sure that there's water below their feet and the whole body was submerged. So the Rosh says it's not necessary. Just like there's no din l'chatchila that you have to open up your mouth, no din l'chatchila to open up your eyes either. So there's no din l'chatchila. You have to have water touching the bottom of the feet. That's Beis HaStorim. So the Gemara has a din, even though you don't need bias mayim inside the mouth and inside the eyes, but if you have guk in your eyes, you have some kind of an infection, you have something stuck on the eyes, so that constitutes a chatzitza. Let's say someone is eating chicken and they have a bone that's caught in between the teeth, even though there's no din that you have to open up the mouth, that you don't need bias mayim inside the mouth, but if you have a chatzitza inside the mouth, then it's no good. Machloik is whether that's a din deraisa, a din derabbanan, shaylan shulchan aruch, how we paskin. But there's such a din. So Rabbi Kivega points out on Shulchan Aruch, you only have to worry about Beis HaStorim, Chatzitz in the Beis HaStorim. Let's say Chatzitz Bebalua, Rabbi Kivega writes, let's say the bottom of the nostril. So the bottom of the nostril is Beis HaStorim. So you have to worry about Chatzitz. Sometimes you have crust stuck on the bottom of the inside, the bottom of the nostril. You have to clean it out, because otherwise it'll be a Chatzitz. What if it's deeper in the upper part of the nostril? So Rabbi Kivega quotes the Maharil, that's called Balua already. Whatever is Balua is Kemisha Eina. Whatever is Balua is Kemisha Eina. Let's say an Adam Tameh touches me like this. So he makes me Tameh. What if he sticks his finger inside my mouth and he touches the inside of my mouth? Gemara learns that from a pasuk in today's Sedra, in Parshas Metzora, that Maga Beis HaStorim doesn't count. It's only called Maga if it's on the outside. Maga in the Beis HaStorim doesn't count. But what if the person puts, I open up my mouth, and the Adam Tomei, if I pick up a piece of Nevela, so Nevela is Metamei B'maga M'masa, even if I'm not touching it, Masa, I picked it up, it's Metamei B'masa. So let's say someone else picks up the Nevela, I open my mouth, and they put it in my mouth. So the Gemara has a din of Masechas Nida, that even though in the Beis HaStorim there's no din of Maga, Maga Beis HaStam doesn't count if the Tomei stuck his finger in and he touches me on the inside of my mouth. He's not metaming me, but if you have masa on the Beis HaStam, he put a kazais nevela inside my mouth, that is metame. What if there's a masa in the balua? Let's say the fellow put dava tame, he put a kazais nevela in my mouth. Somehow I swallowed it without, I don't know how. Let's say tame dikaring. I don't know, and it's not in the Beis HaStam. It's balua, all the way balua. So then it's, Rabbi Kivega says there's no din of chatzitza there, and the Gemara says balua, there's no din even a masa. Whatever is balua is kenisha eina. So let's say this is a shala, let's say Eishes Koyen is pregnant, then she goes to the doctor. The doctor says the baby doesn't have any heartbeat, the fetus died already. So the husband is not allowed to sleep in the same house with his wife because there's a dead body over there. So the poskim say no, it's balua. Balua, tuma balua is not metame. There's no problem. Tuma balua is kemisha'eno. It's considered as if it's not there. If it would only be Beis HaStarim, let's say in Shulchan Aruch says, chatzitza, if there's some dirt or some crust, something on the surface of the body. Let's say someone was shot with a bullet, and the bullet is under the skin. That's called balua. So balua is not called a chatzitza. A difference between Beis HaStarim and balua. So Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva holds there is no such thing. The tumah blue is not matam. We don't paskan like Rabbi Akiva. We paskan like Rabbi Shmuel. Here the Gemara has this
splinter under the skin.
Splinter. The Shulchan Aruch has a case. Let's say there's a splinter. So if part of the splinter is on top of the skin, then you have a little bit of a chatzitza. If the whole splinter is below the surface of the skin, that's not called a chatzitza. Because it's balua, so whatever is below the surface of the skin, balua is kemisha eino. It's painful, it hurts, but it's not called the chatzitza. Yeah, here the Gemara has an ayin aleph and an aleph right after the Mishnah. It says, "Omar Rabba, we pass on like this. Kishem, just like shetuma balua eino metama, just like if the fetus is dead inside the woman is kemisha eino. So if the midwife sticks a hand in, she really should not be tamei." The Mishnah says, if the doctor or the midwife sticks their hand in, she is Tomei. So the Gemara said, that's only Midirabbanan. Min HaTorah, it's not so. Min HaTorah, Tuma Blu is not Mitame. So Rabbi is going on the level of the Raisa. Kishem, just like Tuma Blu is not Mitame, Kach Tara Blu is not Mikabel Tuma. Eina Mitamo. If I swallowed a ring and I go to a funeral, so the ring that I'm wearing on my hand becomes Aviyah Boisatum, Echer Varekachol. But the ring that's in my stomach is Kemisha Eino. Or let's say a pregnant woman goes to a funeral and there's a fetus inside. So she becomes Tummy, the fetus does not become Tummy. The fetus is Tahara Balua. Tahara Balua is not Mekabal Tumah. So that's how we paskin. So here Rashi explains on this Mishnah, getting back again to the top line on Ayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah has a whole machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef Aglili. If you have an elephant or a horse, whatever, you have a non-kosher animal is pregnant and the fetus is dead. So that's a machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef Aglili. If the midwife or if the shepherd sticks his hand in, does he become tamei or not? But if it's inside a kosher animal, so then they all agree, Tanakam Rav Yosef, they all agree that the one who touches the fetus inside is not Tomei. And if it's a non-kosher animal, then it's a machlokes. So Rashi says, what are they talking about? Isn't it Tumah Blua? Tumah Blua is not Betamei. So he said, the Mishnah goes, Shaloi Ka'alocha, the whole Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't believe in the din of Tumah Blua. But we paskan like Rabbi Shmuel, and the next daf, and I'm Beis HaMeral, we paskan Tumah Blua is not Betamei. It's Kemisha Eino.
Can we learn Gemara before that?
That there's no.
If there's a fetus inside and you cut it up, whatever, and it should be in the veil, or we hold that that's not. That it is Matami because there is no Tumah Blua.
That's against the Mishnah. Rashi says, once we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, so Tuma Blue is not betame at all. There's nothing that you don't need the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, that there is no such din, that Tuma Blue is not betame, and the, still the Mishnah has new psukim. So the Gemara is going to quote additional psukim to indicate that the dead fetus inside, if it's a kosher animal and the dead fetus is inside, then it's not metame, and if it's a non-kosher animal, then it's a machlokes satanim. I don't remember. I must have made a mistake. I don't remember at all. Oh, no. That's what's going on over here. There's a shach in the end of Yeridaya, in Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. The end of Yeridaya, they have a little bit dinei roifim. How? What is a doctor allowed to, when is a doctor allowed to treat a patient? When not, the doctors have to be careful. Once in a while, the doctor will accidentally kill a patient. So you need a pasuk, v'rape y'rape, shenitim reshus l'roifim l'rapis. A doctor is allowed to try to treat a patient, even though he may make a mistake and he may turn out to hasten the death of the patient. So in Shulchan Aruch, they have all the rules and regulations. When is a doctor? Which doctors are permitted? It has to be a licensed doctor. Otherwise, the Bezin won't give him permission to practice medicine. He may kill too many patients. So they have Hilchas Reifim. When is he allowed to treat the patient? Then they have what happens if the patient dies. So what are the dinim of ripping kriya? What are the dinim of aninus? What are the dinim of avelus? What is the mitzvah of gvura? And what are the dinim of tumas kahanim? So then when they talk about the tumas kahanim, so the shach quotes from the rekeach. We're used to the rekeach has gematrios and all kinds of kabbalah, but there's another sefer by the rekeach that just has halacha, like kitzur shulchan aruch. And every so often it has a chiddush that you don't find in kitzur shulchan aruch. So the rekeach discusses a shaila. A girl is married to a kohen and she's pregnant. She doesn't know whether it's a boy or a girl. Is she permitted to attend a funeral? What's the shaila? It may be a boy, and she's causing a kohen zocher to be tomei tumas meis. She's taking the fetus to the funeral to be mitamehim. So the rekeach says it's mutter mitam svek sveke. It's 50-50, maybe a zocher, maybe in a keva, and even if it's a zocher, she may have a miscarriage. She may have a miscarriage. So the odds are that it's not going to turn out to be a male kohen who's going to survive. Huh? So the Magen Avraham quotes this in Hilchos Shabbos. There's one siman about chinuch haktanim. What are you allowed to have children do on Shabbos and what not? You're not allowed to encourage your children to turn on the lights on Shabbos. You're not allowed to encourage your children to carry a siddur to shul on Shabbos and so on. So that's a siman in Hilchos Shabbos Shin Mem Gimel or something like that. So in the Hilchas Chinuch Haktanim, so the Magen Avraham quotes this shach from the end of Yeridei B'Shem Derekech, and then he asks the kasha, what is the whole discussion? It's a Tara Beluah is not Mekabel Tumah. The fetus is inside the mother's body. And Rabbi said over here, K'shem Shetumah Beluah Eina Metama, Kach Tara Beluah is not Mitamah. Tara Beluah is not Mekabel Tumah. So the kid inside the mother's womb is not Mekabel Tumah. So what's the problem? Even if you took, what do they call, a sonogram, and you know that it's a boy, it's Vada, it's a boy. It may be a nafel later on, okay, but if you know Vada, it's a boy, it's still permissible for the Muberis to go to a funeral, because Tara Blua is not Mekabel Tumah, so what's the problem? That's Rabbi Kevegis, that's the Magen Avraham's Kasha, on what the Shach quoted from the Rokeach. What do the Rokeach need? The Svek Sveka. Svek Sveka means that it's a Roiv, 50-50, whether it's a male or a female, and even if it's a male, there's a small chance that she may miscarriage before the baby is born, so it'll be a glowing Muslim affair that there was nothing to worry about. So what did he need that whole, what the Rekeh calls a Svek Sveker? Should have said that Tar Blu is not Mekabel Tumah. So that's a famous Kasha. So on that Kasha, there were two brothers-in-law, Rab Chaim Oizer and Rab Elchanan Wasserman, were married to two sisters. They married the two daughters of the Rav, which city? Forgot. Shavel, the Rav and Shavel. Remember when we were touring in Poland, it took us 45 minutes. Shavel is a big city, and we're going by bus. It took a long time to go from one end of Shavel to the other. So apparently it was a bigger city than most other cities. The other cities, in 5 minutes, he already went from one end of the city to the other. And Shavel is very big. So the Rav and Shavel had two daughters and married these two big Tamir Chacham, Rabbi Chana Wasserman with Rabbi Chaim Oizer. So they both came up with the same einfall to give pshat in this Rekech. Apparently the Rekech is of the opinion that the prohibition of the kohen to come in contact with a dead body has nothing to do with the fact that the kohen becomes tameh. Even if there's a stunt, there's a trick whereby the kohen will not be mekabel tumah, it's an issur, not allowed to come in contact with a mace. So that's the case over here. The pregnant woman, so the baby is tara b'luah. Tara b'luah is not mekabel tumah, but it's going to be in the same room with a dead body. They're going to attend the funeral. That's an issur, not allowed to come in contact with a chiddush. The simple reading of the pasuk is not so. Nefesh le'itama b'yama. You shouldn't become tummy to a mace. Not you shouldn't come in contact with a mace. But that's apparently, he said, that's what they suggest. Apparently the Rekech thinks like that. Others think like that as well. They quote, there's a Mishnah that Efer hasrufim, if they cremated a body, so the ashes are not mitame. B'maga, b'masabal, the ashes are not mitame at all. The ashes are not mitame, so it should be permissible for Kohanim to come in contact with the ashes from the mace. On Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom of the page, in the Pischei Tshuva, they quote Rabbi Yankov Emden as a chiddush. A lot of times we just ignore his chiddushim. A lot of times he says things that are against Mishnayos. Okay, so those we ignore. So Rabbi Yankov Emden came up with a chiddush that even though he knows, even though the Mishnah says that the Efer HaSrufim is not mitameh, but a kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the Efer HaSrufim. So he's also assuming like that, that the prohibition for a kohen to come in contact with a mace, even if it's going to happen in such a way, that it's not going to cause him to become tamei. It's a nisi, not allowed to come in contact with a mace, even if it's not mitamei you.
Atzma shel mace. Atzma shel mace. So if she doesn't touch the body, and it's balua, so there's no tumas mace, so she's not actually touching the body.
No. If a kohen comes into the oil mace, that is called atzma shel mace. There is a mace over there, and I'm in the same ohel. So the kohen is not allowed to come into the same ohel with a mace. That he's not allowed to do.
How would the manufacturer is there any kind of riot for that, or just Tom and built it on it to make it an issur?
No, you have a pasuk. So you want to learn pshat. So the simple pshat is a kohen is not permitted to become tamei tumas meis. So they say the Rekech apparently didn't understand it like that. There is a pasuk in Chumash, but the Rekech understood a kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a meis, even if he'll do it in such a stunt fashion, in a trick way, that it won't be mitamei him. But there is a pasuk. The kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a meis. So what does it mean? So Rashi says on the Mishnah, the whole meduba here is we're assuming like Rabbi Akiva that there doesn't exist such a din that tuma b'lua is not mitame. But nonetheless, this here there's a din. If you have a kosher animal and it has a dead uber inside, and the farmer sticks his hand in, or the shepherd sticks his hand in, that's going to be a new din. Even if you don't accept the din that tuma b'lua is not mitame, going to be a new din that is not mitame. We'll have to figure out what the reason for that is. A pasuk. And then if it's a non-kosher animal that has this dead fetus inside, that's machlokes min Tanakama Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Tanakama Rabbi Yosef Aglili. The Achronim write that some women have a custom, they have a meaning, that a pregnant woman doesn't go to a funeral. So the Achronim write that it's a mistake. Even a pregnant woman is married to a kohen, and there's a shaila she may give birth to a boy. It says there, Shach quoted the Rekech, Eishes Kaimu Beres is permitted to go to a funeral. So they say, Mistama, the Achrayim write, Mistama, the women must have been listening to the Rabbanim and they heard a half a story. They were talking about pregnant women going to a funeral, so they thought, Aminig, you don't go. So when people ask me, so I say, if the woman doesn't want to go, if the pregnant woman doesn't want to go to a funeral, she's looking for a teretz. So let us say, the meaning is that the pregnant women don't go to a funeral. But if she wants to go to the funeral, it's a close relative, she wants to go. So, strictly speaking, there's no prohibition. There's not. Never was such a minig. It's a minig de toys. The only thing that's room for discussion is if it's Eshes Kaim Uberis and they took a sonogram and you know that it's a boy. Mm-hmm. So then some say, then you're not allowed to go. And others say, what are you talking about? It's Tara Balua. Tuma Balua. Tuma Balua. Tara Balua.
How do I assume?
I'm not consulted. This on the books. You don't have to ask me.
Even if they put the sonogram, could you also say that there's still a fake beta because maybe the coin is not real at
coin? No, that for many years it was assumed that Kohanim is Manazeh Safek Kohanim. until the days of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger had a Talmud, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher, who was a famous Zionist. Tira Tzvi is named after him. He had another Talmud, Belia Gutmacher, Belia Greiditzer, who was also a big Zionist. The kibbutz is Deli Yohu was named after him. They were famous tzaddikim. Belia Greiditzer was a Balmoifes, a big tzaddik, and being Yerusha Maim. And Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher also. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher wrote a whole essay called Drishas Tzion. It was an open letter to, I think, Baron Rothschild. I think so, to Baron Rothschild. He should put up money, we should build a Beis HaMikdash. He never visited Eretz, didn't know that there was a mosque there. So he suggested Rothschild should put up money, they should build a Beis HaMikdash, and we should bring Karbanas. Maybe it'll turn out that Rothschild may turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. Because the Rambam says the one who will be successful in building Beis HaMikdash and bringing back, reinstituting Karbanas, may turn out to be the Mashiach. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher has to solve all the problems. How do you just build a Beis HaMikdash? So one of the issues was that when Ezra came back after 7 years of Golus Babel, he only permitted Kohanim Miyuchasim to be Makar of Karbanas and the Beis HaMikdash. Whoever had a Ksav Yichas, he allowed them to be Makar of Karbanas. Whoever was just Kohanim Chazakeh, their fathers used to Duchen and Chutz Loretz, their fathers ate Chalas Chutz Loretz, so they got the first Aliyah, they did Pidyon HaBen, like by us, we know they're Kohanim, but they don't have a Ksav Yichas, they don't have a documented evidence that they're Kohanim, so Ezra didn't permit them to be Makar Kabbalah. So that's the Shaila. What do you mean? Rothschild should build a Beis HaMikdash. How many Kohanim Yichasim are there? There are very few Kohanim Yichasim around, so it's not enough to man a Beis HaMikdash. You need Kohanim 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, all day and all night, the Makar of Karbanas. You do Haktaris Emurim all night long. So there aren't so many Kohanim Yuchas. The Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher came up with the Chiddush. He said that what the Achrayim said, that Kohanim Chazaka are Sofik Kohanim, and that's why Ezra didn't permit them to be Makar of Karbanas, is not true. The Kohanim Chazaka are Vade Kohanim, and it was just a Chumra Midirabanan that Ezra instituted, that you need Kohanim Yuchasim. And it's self-understood, it's self-evident that the Chumrah only was introduced when it's efshir, when it's feasible, when it's possible to be makar karbanas. You have enough Kohanim Yechasim, so then you may as well introduce, make sense to make a Chumrah. Well, we're going to observe that Chumrah today is going to prevent us from bringing karbanas, period. So it doesn't make sense that Ezra's Chumrah should apply. So he was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiveg, so he sent the whole Sefer Drisha Tzion to Rabbi Kiveg, so he was masking with him. And everything that he said. Then Rabbi Kiveikin sent it to the Chasam Sofer, who was his son-in-law. He was also masking. But the Chasam Sofer was a man of the world. He knew what was going on. So Rabbi Kiveikin sent a letter to the Chasam Sofer. Maybe we should, because Chasam Sofer was brought up in Frankfurt, and he was friendly with the family, with the Rothschild family, and they were bankers, and they loaned money to all the kings in the world. So maybe the Chasam Sofer should impress upon Baron Rothschild that they should pay up some money to the Arabs who are controlling the Mokam HaMikdash. They should allow us to bring a Korban Pesach. So the Chasam Sofer sent back a letter. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't let any Jews walk anywhere near the Har HaBayis. What do you mean we should pay money? That's ridiculous. They're not going to let. There's a mosque over there. Rabbi Kiveger didn't know there was a mosque. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher didn't know there was a mosque. There's nothing to discuss. They won't let you go and make a mizbech and bring karbanas over there. But ever since the days of Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher, that's the middle of the 1800s, Rabbi Kiveger and Chasam Sofer both said the same thing, that Kohanim is man as the Avada Kohanim. They're not Sofik Kohanim. And the fact that Ezra didn't permit them to be makar karbanas unless they had a ksav yichas, that was only a chumim and the rabban, and it's only introduced heichad efshir, when it's possible to be makar karbanas without them. But if the observance of the Chumrah of Ezra means they just do away with all the Karbanas, then we shouldn't observe the Chumrah. We used to have kulas on the assumption Kohanim are only Safik Kohanim, and Chalutz of the Kohen is only the Rabbanon, so if the Kohanim are only Safik, and Chalutz is the Rabbanon, Safik the Rabbanon of the Kula, so there's room to be Mekel. If a Kohen by mistake married a Chalutz, we wouldn't tell him to get divorced. So all of these kulas went down the drain. Rabbi Kiveger and Chasam Sofer agreed with the Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher. Kohanim are not Safi Kohanim. They're Vade Kohanim. Now they say they have the Kohen gene. That the Kohen gene that depends on the father, not on the mother. And they say, Ruba de Ruba of the Kohanim have the Kohen gene. That they are, we assume they are Kohanim. They are Kohanim.
How come we don't give them the Matnas Kahuna?
maybe we should give them the Matnas Kuhuna. We're supposed to give them the Matnas Kuhuna. I remember my Rabbi Mendel Zaks, who was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, used to be the Boichan and Yeshiva in our time. So when he retired, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And I remember we once visited him after he lived in Eretz Yisrael. So he told us he gives Maaser Rishon, when he's Mafrish Maaser Rishon, he gives it to Yeshiva Bachur, who's a Levi. And Truma the Kohanim can't eat anyway. You have to burn it. All the Truma is Truma Tameya. Chalas Chutz Lord, the Kohanim can eat. Chalas Chutz Lord, strictly speaking, Chala in Eretz Yisrael is only Midir Abonad Bezman Hazeh. That's a Gemara Ksuv is Dav Chafei. Chala Bezman Hazeh is only the Abonad. Chala in the Bais Rishon period was the Raisa, because the Pasuk says, Bevayachem El Ha'aretz. Bevayachem means Bias Kulchem. Everybody came. So the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, there was Bias Kulchem. After in the Bais Sheni period, after the 7 years of Golus Babel, there was no Bias Kulchem. The overwhelming majority, 95% of the Jews, more than 95%, stayed behind in Babel, and just 43,000 or something came back to Eretz Yisrael. So there was a lack of Bias Kulchem. So even in Eretz Yisrael, Chalas was only the Rabbanim. Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz is on, it's a mitzvah tli bar, it's an agricultural mitzvah. So Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz is only the Rabbanim to begin with. So Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz bizman hazeh, what we have is a derabbanon on top of a derabbanon. So the Gemara has a whole list of kulas with respect and in Pchoros Adav Chav Zayin, a whole list of kulas unique only to Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz. Doesn't apply to, let's say, to Maisa Yerek, is also only a derabbanon. There are other things that are sharminim, aside from Dog and Tirish V'Yitzer, is many hold that it's only derabbanon. We paskin, it's only derabbanon. Trumas and Maisa, only deraisa. On Dog and Tirish Vitzah. The coolest of Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz are only B'Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz. Doesn't apply to anything else. So one of the many coolest is that a Kohen whose Tomei is permitted to eat Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz, Tomei Meis, we're all Tomei, Tomei Sheretz, whatever, unless he has Tuma Hayotza Olam Migufa. Let's say he's a Balkeri, he has to go to the mikveh, and then he's able to eat the Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz. So if he's a Kohen Katan before the age of 9, Katan usually means before Bar Mitzvah, and Gadol means after Bar Mitzvah. So here in this Gemara, Katan means if he's younger than 9, so he ain't b'yosabiyo, so he can't be a Balkari, by definition. He can't be a Balkari before the age of 9. So he permitted to give Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz to a Kohen Katan to eat it. What if he's a Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol means after the age of 9. So if Tova Lekerio, maybe he became a Balkari. So if he'll go to the mikveh, we'll permit him to eat Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz. So the Shachan Yeredei quotes the Maharil, who poses the question, how come we don't do that? By this Friday they do. They'll give the Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz to a Kohen who went to Mikvah and he'll eat it. But by the Ashkenazim, we don't give Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz to a Kohen who went to Mikvah, even though the Gemara says it should be Mutter. So the Maharil says, because there's a din, that a person, there's a din medirabbanan in the second parak in Ksuba. So if a person comes to town and he says, good morning, I'm a Kohen, so you don't believe him, you're not allowed to believe him, you have to have two witnesses to testify that he's a Kohen. Maybe he's lying. Minatara, he's believed, it's a chumr medirabbanan. You have to have two witnesses to ascertain that he's really a Kohen. But the Gemara says, if it's a big shas hatchak, so then we're mekel. We revert back to the din deraisa that he's naman about himself. So the Maharil, who lived so many years ago, Maharil lived when? The 1400s. And now it's more so. Maharil says there were so many pogroms on the Jewish people. It happened after the war. People came to America. They were only survivors from the whole city. So what do you mean? Go bring two witnesses from the city who know that your father was a Kohen. I'm the sole survivor from the whole city. So even though it's Pshas Atrak, everybody was killed. And Pshas Atrak, we revert back to the Din Deraisa that he's believed on his own. But the Maharil says, because we're really in violation of the Takanas Chacham, that a person shouldn't really be believed on his own to say that he's a Kohen, so that's why we don't have that practice anymore. So that's why we don't give Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz to a Kohen. Chalas Eretz Yisrael, they're not allowed to eat because they're Tameim. Everybody's Tameim. A Kohen is Tameim, not allowed to eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael Truma. They can't eat. Maaser Rishon, you can eat Betuma. So why don't we give Maaser Rishon to the Levim? So they say, we're not so sure that they're Levim. Why are we not so sure? That's what Mendel Zak said. What do you mean? He gave the Maaser Rishon to the Levim. He's not going to give the Truma Gedolah to the Kohanim because the Kohanim are Tamei anyway, so they can't eat it. And the Truma is usually Tamei, so the Truma Tamei, we burn, you don't give it to the Kohanim to eat. We give Pidyon HaBen to the Kohanim, we say a Brocha, al Pidyon HaBen, we don't say it's a Sofi Brocha's Log, and we don't say we're not so sure that he's a Kohen. They give him the first Aliyah, so there's no proof. You got to give somebody the first Aliyah. But you're going to start from Sheni. So you give the first aliyah. If there's no coin, you give it to Yisrael. So this guy thinks he's a coin, so give it. That doesn't prove anything. But he said, Brachan Pidyon Aben. So we assume that it's a Vadai. You say, Brachan Pidyon Aben, it's a Vadai coin. It's not a Sophic coin. So that's what they tiny. It can't be that it Kohanim is man as a Sophic Kohanim. Yeah. If you bake chalas, er pesach chali is b'shabbos, and you bake chalas, and then you marfish, you bake chalas for Shabbos, and you have to eat it up in the morning, and then you marfish chala and erev Shabbos. So what do you do with the chala? You're going to be in violation of Bal Yerub by Motzei. So it says you have to give it to a kohen who went to Bikveh. Yeah. If you have a big shas hatchak, you do. But derech klal, we avoided Ashkenazim, avoided. The Sfarim still give to a kohen who went to mikveh to remove the tumah yotzel megufa. But the Ashkenazim don't do it. Yeah, so let's see again. So the Mishnah says this, they all agree, that if the fetus is dead inside a behemoth tahira, and the shepherd sticks his hand in, even though the Mishnah goes like Rebbe Kiva, that tumah blua is metamei, and the fetus, the dead fetus, is inside the rechem of the behemah. But over here it's not metamei. L'chol adeis. The Gemara says, my time, Tanakama, why not? Why does everybody agree if it's a behemah torah? It's not metamei, and Tanakama holds even a behemah tamei, or the fetus inside behemah. What is it based on? Amar avchiz, that's based on a kal v'chaymer. What's the kal v'chaymer? What's it doing in our pavir? We're supposed to be learning about the ben pakua. So he says, because this din is based on a kal v'chaymer from ben pakua. You say, if you shech the mother, so the shechita, and the fetus inside is dead. You have a cow that's pregnant, and the fetus is dead. The fetus is dead is an avela, so you can't eat it. But if you shech the mother, then you're allowed to eat the dead fetus. So you see that the uber inside is batel agav the mother. So when you shech the mother, the shechita is chal on the vlad is also. So if the mother is alive, you're not shechting her, a live animal, and there's no tumah. And the dead fetus inside is batel agav the mother. So just like the mother is namitami, so the fetus inside is also namitami. That's what Rav Chizda says. It's a kavachayma. What's a kavachayma? Im ha'ila, imu lahatir b'achila. If the fetus is dead, and you shech the mother, and you say the fetus is batel agav the mother, so certainly kavachayma, l'toilo, shouldn't the fact that it's batel agav the mother help? L'tahara, l'tahure midei nevela. He thinks that that's a kavachayma. So the Gemara said, that's fine, and then the ashkechan behema tohoira. But the Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Yosi Aglili. He holds even in a behemoth tmeya. Behemoth tmeya, there is no din if you shecht the horse or you shecht the camel, that the uber inside is nita v'shchita sima. It's not nitfas and shchita. Behemoth tmeya is not nitfas and shchita. So the Gemara says, behemoth tmeya minol. And how did Tanakhama know that this din applies into behemoth tmeya? And for the Gemara, there's a hekesh in the pasuk. The pasuk compares behemoth tmeya to behemoth torah. With respect to what? Behemoth Torah with Behemoth Meah are not the same. Behemoth Torah is Muta Bachila, Behemoth Meah is also Bachila. Behemoth Meah is non Nitfas and Shchita. So, with respect to what is it, Hukash? On Makro, the Pasuk says, Chiyamas Marad Behemoth, Ashihilachem Liochla. There's a Pasuk. If a kosher animal dies, so it says that it's Metami Bemaga Bemasa. Chiyamas Marad Behemoth, Ashihilachem Liochla. So, the Gemara Darshan's is not Pshuta Shal Mikra. That's a reference to Zu Behemoth Tmeya. Sheila Hachem Liyachla. The second phrase in the pasuk goes Zu Behemoth Torah. And since they mentioned one next to the other, according to the drasha of the Torah Shebal Peh, according to the Pshuta Shemikra, you're talking about the same animal. It's not two different. Chiyamis Mera Behemoth Sheila Hachem Liyachla is one long phrase. But the Torah Shebal Peh has an additional level of interpretation that the two phrases. Chiyamis Mera Behemoth goes on a Behemoth Tmeya. Sheila Hem Leachal goes on a Behemoth Torah. So they mention one next to the other. Does Hasta Hekish, Iskish Behemoth Tmeya, the Behemoth Torah, with respect to what? Shechita is not chal on the elephant, and you're not allowed to eat the elephant, so what is it, Iskish? It's Iskish for this purpose. Ma Behemoth Torah Ubra Tohor. The Uber Kozmat is inside. When the Uber will come out from the mother's body, it will be Tomei. It's no longer but Lagab the Goof. When the Uber is still inside and the mother is still alive, then the Uber is but the lock of the mother and it's still Tohar. So that's what the Tanakhama Shita is based on. Rabbi Yosef Aglili disagrees, and he distinguishes between behemoth Torah and behemoth Tmei. So what's the reason why? So the Pashta says he holds like Rav Chisda's Kavachim, and he doesn't hold from the Hekesh. That's what I would have said. So the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara stands on the head to work out a hole. Finally, at the end of the day, they're going to say he doesn't hold from the Hekesh. But why doesn't he hold from the Hekesh? He should have held from it. The Gemara is going to give a whole drasha. What motivates Rav Yosef Aglili not to hold from the Hekesh? Rav Yosef Aglili, my timer. Why does he distinguish between behemoth Torah and behemoth? What kvetches him not to hold from the Hekesh? He must have a mocker in a chumash in a pasuk somewhere that tells you not to darshan the hekesh. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said the first try is going to be right. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dama Kroa, there's a pasuk that says the cholach al kapov. How do you determine whether any given animal is a kosher animal or non-kosher animal? It has to be malager mafis parsa. So mafis parsa means the split hoofs. Cholach al kapov means it doesn't have a split hoof. The kafa regel is solid. So the pasuk says, "V'chol ha'olach al kapov, v'chol achay ha'olachas al arba t'meim heim lachem." So the Gemara darshins pasuk pshat, and the pasuk doesn't mean this. The Gemara is ha'olach al kapov, v'chol achay ha'olachas al arba. If you have a ha'olach al kapov, if you have a behemoth mare that doesn't have mafis parsa, and it's inside the behemah ha'alechas al arba, it's inside another animal that goes on 4 feet. An animal inside another animal, so it says that it's tummy. Why is it tummy? It means it's dead. The uber inside is dead, and the uber inside is ha'alech al kapov. Ha'alech al kapov means it's a behemoth mare that doesn't have split hooves. So that's Rabbi Yitzchok has a mark of a chol. Rabbi Yosef Aglili is mark of a chol. Ha'alech al kapov. Ha'alech ha'alechas al arba. If you have a dead fetus inside a chai halach, a dense fetus inside another animal, and the dead fetus inside is a non-kosher animal, and the mother is also a non-kosher animal, so then it says, Tmeim yolachem, it's tummy. Alche kapayim bechaya, timei siloch. If you have, alche kapayim means it doesn't have mafis parsa, inside a live animal, a non-kosher animal, inside the rechem of another non-kosher animal, and the uber inside, the fetus inside is dead, so timesi loch its tummy. So that's Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rabbi Yosef Aglili has a marker that he can't say the hekesh between behemotar and behemotmeh. He would have liked to say the hekesh, but you have a pasuk that says explicitly that he can't. Freg de gemar, naim aise. That's the marker for this din. Ela meyata, what if you have a cow for generations from Bereshis, from Bias Oilam, Sheshis May Bereshis, then in one generation, you have a mutation, and the Vlad, let's say an Uber, is Parsois of Klutos. Call it Ben Pora, the Gemara calls it. Call it Ben Pora. This animal doesn't have Malager Mafis Parsa. Its descendants for all the generations is Malager Mafis Parsa. This one is Kolod. So we had the Gemara said before, that's a Machloikes Hatanaim. Rab Shimon holds Kolod Ben Pora is Osa Bachila, because you have a Pasuk that says twice Gomel is Osa. Gomel, Shnei Pam, what do you need twice? So one is a Gomel, the Vladaba Gomel, go all the way back to Sheshes May Breshes. The other one is Para, Gomel. So if it's a Gomel Ben Para, so the Chachamim say, we Paskin, it doesn't pose a problem. It's basically a mutation, it's really a Para. It itself doesn't have Mafris Parsa, but it comes from it's a Min Tahar. It's a mutation. It looks like a Gomel, but it really isn't a Gomel. And Reb Shimon learns that from the pasuk that you have two psukim. One says a real gomel is also. One says if you have a cow that's mutation, it looks like a gomel. It's also called a tempor. So the Gemara is going with the shita that called a tempor is a kosher animal, but it doesn't have mafis parsa. So the Gemara says if the mocker for Rabbi Yosef Aglili is that pasuk, the chol hoelach al kapov. Hoelach al kapov means that it doesn't have split hooves. Chol ha'alech ha'kapov, and that's a fetus. B'chol chaya ha'alechas al arba, that's inside. Pashup shat in the pasuk doesn't mean there's an uber inside another animal. It means if an animal is not parsois of mafris parsif, doesn't have split hooves, it's treif. That's the pashup shat in the pasuk. This is an additional level of interpretation. It's not pshuto. If you have a kolot which is inside, you have a gomel which is inside another gomel, and the inside gomel, the fetus, is dead, So then it says, Tmeim Yolachem, it's Tome. So Gemara says, if that's how you read the Pasa, Holach al Kapov means it has parsois of klutas, not parsois of split, not split hoofs. So if so, Elamiyat, call it the Mei Parle Tame. Why does the Mishnah say? If it's a behemoth Torah inside a rechem of a behemoth Torah, and it's dead, so if you stick the shepherd, sticks his hand in, he's not Tomei. But here you have a case, the uber inside is Holach HaKapov, because it doesn't have Mafis Parsa. So literally, that's called Holach HaKapov. Gemara says, if that's the Mokka, like Rabbi Yitzchak says, Alamiyata should come out, and it's, they assume it's not true. The Mishnah says it's not true. If it's a behemoth Torah inside the rechem of a behemoth Torah, call it the Meipora Litame, the Mahalche Kapayim Bichayahi. And for the Gemara, no, that's wrong. The Pasuk only goes Mahalche Kapayim Mahalche Arba. The high, when you have a call of Bumpa Mahalche Arba, Mahalche Shmoina. Cholchai Halechas Al Arba, if you have a non kosher animal where the hooves are not split, so it has four legs. If you have a kosher animal and all the four legs have split hooves, so it's as if you have eight legs. Each leg is split on the bottom. That's called Holach al Kapov, means the uber inside doesn't have split hoofs, and the mother who's carrying this uber also doesn't have split hoofs. It only has four legs. Mm-hmm. In the case that we just gave, call it b'nei para, it's inside a para has eight legs. It's considered as if it has eight legs. So the pasuk doesn't say in such a case that it's tamei. Fine. I'm halchayabim halchishmeinu. Frank Demora, really, what about the following case? What about para b'me'ei gomel? You have gomel, 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 all the way sheshes, mei breshes, gomel. All of a sudden, it's a para. So what's the din? It's a gomel. It was a gomel all the way from sheshes, mei breshes. It's a mutation. It looks like a para, but it doesn't help the fact that it's malager mafis para. So it's basically a gomel. So it's a behemah t'meya. So the Mishnah says... The Mishnah says, if it's a trefa animal, a fetus inside a trefa animal, so Rabbi Yosef clearly holds that it is matami. So the Gemara asks the kasha, why? But it doesn't fit into the pasuk. If you have a para b'mei gomel, loy tatame, the Mishnah says the rule is, if it's a fetus, a dead fetus inside a behemoth tmeya, Rabbi Yosef clearly holds that it's matami. But if his shita is based on that pasuk, halach al kapov, this is not halach al kapov, because the uber inside has split hoofs. Holach al Kapov means the four legs are not split hoofs. And here it doesn't fit into the pasuk. So in this case it should not be mitame, and the Mishnah says that it is mitame. That's the Gemara's kasha. Nachamol. Parah b'mei gomel. Loi tetame should not be mitame. And the Mishnah says it is mitame. Why should it not be mitame? Because mahalchei shmoina b'mahalchei arbahu. Since the uber inside has split hoofs, it's not called Holach al Kapov. Kapov means that it doesn't have split hoofs. So the Gemara says, it says in the pasuk, V'chol Holach al Kapov. V'chol is a ribuy. V'chol is always a ribuy. So, and for the Gemara, Holach, V'chol Holach, Le'rabbis par b'megom. You're right. It doesn't fit into the pshuta, but that's why it says V'chol to be marbedat. For the Gemara, we still have a kasha. There's still a case that doesn't fit in. Called it b'mekluto litamei. Nahamo. What's called the Mekluta? You have para, 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 all the way back to Shesha the Mebresh. Then you have a mutation. And now the para does not have split hooves. And that it's pregnant with an uber that also does not have a mutation on the mother and on the uber. They both don't have split hooves. So the pasuk says, it's Holach al Kapov. The uber inside does not have split hooves. So that's Kapov. And the mother's holechas al arba, because the mother doesn't have split hoofs. So you don't say it has eight legs. It only has four legs. Because it's a kolut. The two mutations. The mother's mutation doesn't have split hoofs, and the uber's mutation. So I should say in such a case that it should be metameid. If you touch the uber, and the Mishnah says it's not metameid. Behemoth Torah inside a behemoth Torah. A dead uber inside a behemoth Torah is not metameid. That's the Gemara's kasha. And for the Gemara, no. In that case, lahai ani kal v'chaymer. The Rav Chizda. We said before, if you would shech the mother, the uber would be nita b'shchita sim, even though the uber was dead. So, why? Because that's the pasuk of Ben Pekua. So you see that the uber is batal agav the mother. So that's a kavachaymer. If when you shech the mother, the uber is batal agav the mother, even lahata b'achil, even though it's dead. I can say the shechita is chal on a dead Uber. So kavachaymer over here, the mother is alive and the Uber is dead. You should say the Uber is bot lagav the mother and there's no tumah. Sure. So the Gemara, that's how they patched up Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Okay, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, why doesn't he hold from the hekesh between behemoth Torah and behemoth Tmeya? Because he has that pasuk. Rabbi Yitzchok discovered a pasuk against the drosh. Vegemar kash maskala rechedvei barami has a kash a chazir. A chazir is a non kosher animal. Because it's not, it is mafris parasa, but it's not malagera. It's not malagera. Who gave lo yigar? So the Gemara asks, what about chazir b'mei chazira lo letame? It doesn't fit into the pasuk. Why? Because it's mahalach ishmona. It does have split hoofs, so it's not halach hakapa. And the mother, the chazira, is in, the mother chazira is halach al shmona because it does have split hoofs. So the pasuk that teaches us that the behemoth tmeya, the uber is tamei, can't apply to a chazir because it does have split hoofs. It's just missing malager. It's not missing the marfis parsa. So he asked Akashi if Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha is correct. Chazir b'mei chazirta. That's the first white line. I should say lo letamei because the pasuk can't refer to the mahal chishmeina, the mahal chishmeina who. Elo the Gemara says you're right. Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha is not. The, not the mocker. That cannot be the mocker. It's a different mocker. I'm Nachem by Yitzchak, a different mehacha. The mocker for Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Why doesn't he agree with everything the Tanakhama said? Why doesn't he hold from the hekesh between behemoth Torah and behemoth Tmeya? Everything more, a different pasuk. There is a pasuk. It says it's in Vayikra chapter Hey. There was an Asik over here on the side of the Gemara. They had Rabbi Tzal Ranchbuk says in earlier editions of the Gemara, they quoted the wrong pasuk. So he said, this is the correct pasuk. In chapter Hey, pasuk, I don't know, he tells you what pasuk it is, pasuk based. So this is in the context of Chatos Olav Yorid. Usually when a person violates an Avera B'Shoigig, which is Dono Kores, he has to bring a Chatos Kavua. Chatos Kavua means whether he can afford it or not, that's it. He has to bring Kizba Oseira. If he can't afford it, so he has to schnorra money, he has to go borrow money from friends and neighbors, borrow money from the bank, whatever, to bring a Korban Chatos. A chatas alabiyore, the Torah gives him a break. If he can afford it, he brings a chatas behema. If he can't afford it, he brings a chatas soif. And if he can't even afford that, he brings a minchas chayte. So who brings a chatas alabiyore? So the pasuk says in Parshas Vayikra, and chapter head, the end of Parshas Vayikra, it says there are three averas. One is shvaz bitoy, person took a shvaz not to eat cookies, and he forgot, and he goes and he eats the cookies. Nefes kishishava. Levati b'shasan, that's called shvuz bitri. He took a shvuz and he violated b'shoigeg. Another one is shvuz aedus. Reuben and Shimon have a din Torah, and Reuben can only win the din Torah if the witnesses come and they testify that Shimon owes him the money. So he goes to the witnesses and he says, "Bo beheiduni." They know aedus, but they don't want to raise a chaim with Shimon. So they say they come to Bezlin and say, "Shvuz ain't on the yard melchaydus. We don't remember anything. We weren't there. We don't know anything about anything." Then later on, they admit that they swore falsely, but Bezlin can't accept the testimony now because we say Kim and Shigin Shim and Chayzer Magen. They said in front of Bezlin, "Ain't any Yoidim Lo Edus," so the Bezlin can't accept the testimony. So it's because of their false shvur that they were mafsir to him the money. If they would have come to testify, he would have won the din Torah. If you have another 25 Edim, so they're not chayvin shvur Edus. If they're the only Edim who can help him and they swear falsely, so then they have to bring a korban. That's called Shvus Eidus. And then the third one, Tumas Migdush Vikadoshev, if a person was Tomei, and by mistake he entered the Beis HaMikdush, or by mistake he ate Karbonis in the state of Tumas. So one of these three Averis, so you have to bring a Chatas Olaviyarit, if you can afford it, it's a Chatas Behem. If you can't afford it, you either bring Bashiras or Bedalas or Bedalidalas. You either bring Chatas Behem, you bring Chatas Oif, or you bring a Minchas Chayte. You have a din of oil of yored by Yoledis also in last week's Sandra. The Yoledis only brings either Bashiras or Bedalas. There is no Dali Dalas. And the same thing in this week's Sandra, the Mitzorah, but it becomes Tor. So if you can afford it, he brings Karbanas Behema. If you can't afford it, he brings Karbanas Oif. But there is no Dali Dalas. The Mishnah increases points out. Oil of yored by the Yoledis and by the Mitzorah only has Ashiras and Dalas. And by the three cases of Chatas Olav Yorid and by Yikra chapter, you have Ashiris Dalas, you have Dali Dalas. So the pasuk says there, Elam Ram Nachma Yitzchak, the Mokka is like this. It says if a person became Tomei, however, and he enters the Beis HaMikdash or he eats Karbonis, so then he has to bring a Chatas Olav Yorid. So the pasuk says, Mehacha. Nefesh ki siga b'chol tomei. A person touched the davar tomei. O benivlas chaya tomei. O benivlas behemoth tomei. Whether he touches a dead elephant or he touches a dead horse. One is a chaya tomei. Tmeya means a non-kosher animal, or he touches behemoth tmeya. So the Gemara says, a strange pasuk. What if he touches nivlas behemoth tahira? Mm-hmm. Nivlas behemoth tahira is also mitameit. That's the other pasuk that they quoted before. Kiyamis mena behemoth shilachem liyachlo. If an animal dies, that would have been mutabachil. If he would have shechted, it would have been mutabachil, but it died a natural death. So the pasuk says that it's matame. So what is the pasuk here? By the three averis for which yechayv chata salavir, one of them is tumas mikdash v'kadosha. So it's if the person became tami because he came in contact either with the nivlas chaya tameya or nivlas behema tameya. The same thing, nivlas behema tahira, a nivlas chaya tahira. A deer dies instead of shechted. It's also mitami, the exact same din. Nivlas behema is tahira, the same as nivlas behema tmei, exactly the same. So why does the pasuk only mention? So there must be a case that nivlas behema tmei is mitami, nivlas behema tahira is not mitami. Via does gemal, there is no such thing. Mar says, or Nachman Yitzchak says, it goes on the fetus. If there's a dead uber inside a behema tmeya, and you touch it, then it is matame. If it's a dead uber inside a behemoth Torah and you touch it, you stick your hand in, then it's not matame. That's the mocker. What a mocker. That's the mocker for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, to distinguish between sticking your hand into the rechem, into a behemoth tmeyo, and you touch the dead uber. If the uber is alive, it's not matame. We're talking the uber is dead. So that if it's nivlas behemoth tmeyo, then it is metame. Nivlas behema Torah inside a mother who's alive, that's not metame. That's the mocker. Elo Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that's the mocker. V'chi nivlas behema tmeya metame u betahoyra loy metame. What? Nivlas behema Torah is not metame. It can't be. Elo ezeze. Which animal is it? What are you talking about? What case that only nivlas behema tmeya is metame is a uber? If the fetus is dead and it's inside a non-kosher animal and you stick your hand in, you will become tummy. But if it's inside a kosher animal, that's the makah for Rabbi Yitzchak Lili. Freg dig marso dig abaldik. That's a very good makah. So why did Rabbi Yitzchak have to give a gansen a different makah? He gave kolach ha-kapav, kolach ha-yolach ha-salar, but a gansen, complicated Russia, reinterpreted the pasuk from Chamiyachad and Afkalei. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that's a good mocker. The Rabbi Yitzchak Lamale. Why Rabbi Yitzchak have to quetch a different, give a reinterpretation? Chol hoylech hakapav, v'chol hachay holeches. There's a hoylech hakapav inside. It's a fetus inside. That's not pshuto shel mikra. Why doesn't he just stick to this pasuk? The Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, "Emphatic
marnein." What kind of question is that? Like, how come you weren't smart enough originally?
Like, yeah, because his drasha is no good. Yeah. Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha, we got stuck.
So we rejected it. Take the new drasha. Now he's asking, what did you think of that originally?
The Gemara thinks that there is validity to Rabbi Yitzchak. They're not rejecting Rabbi Yitzchak. They're accepting both Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak. So they say, but once you have Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, so do you really need Rabbi Yitzchak? So they're asking, do you really need it? Lomali? Gemara says, you do need it. Because if you would only have Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak's pasuk, we would have given a different touch. Why does it only say by Tumas Migdash Vakadoshov if he came in contact with a Nivlas Behema Tmeya? Why not Nivlas Behema Tahira? So we would have said a different word, that it's needed to teach me a Gzeira Shova. Because the Parsha there, by Chatas Olavi Yared, you bring an Olavi Yared, Ashiris and Dalas and Dalas, one of three Averis. So one Averis is Shuas Bitui, took a Shua, not the potato chips, and he forgot that he ate it. One Avera, and second Avera is Shavuos Eidos. He swore falsely, Shavuos Eneni Yadavacha Eidos. Then the third Avera is, he became Tomei. And what did he do? It never said what he did. It just says he became Tomei. So he leaves you hanging. So whoever became Tomei has to bring a Chata Sol of Yoreh. So Rebbe says, no, there's a Gzera Shova. The phrase over here says, B'nivlas Behemoth Meyo. And we have a phrase in Parshas Tzav that also says Nivlas Behemoth Tmeya. It says if a person touches Nivlas Behemoth Tmeya, he's not allowed to eat karbonis. That's in Parshas Tzav. So just like over there, when it says v'chi nefesh asher siga b'chol dover tomei obnivlas payment man, it's talking about if you're tomei and not like korbanos. So over here, in the context of the parsha of Olah V'Yorid, also means he became tomei, and what happened? And by mistake, he entered the Beis Hamikdash of Yehi Korban. Not just he became tomei, he has to bring achatas Olah V'Yorid. He didn't do any avera then becoming tomei. There's no avera to become tomei. So that's Rebbe's drosha. So the Gemara says, if you wouldn't have had Rabbi Yitzchak to start the ball rolling, Rabbi Yitzchak's drosha, he interpreted the pasuk that it's talking about a dead fetus inside a live animal. What was the pasuk again? There's a dead animal inside a live animal. Drosha, that's not the pasuk pshat. So if you wouldn't have had Rabbi Yitzchak's comment, this pasuk of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, I would have said the reason why the pasuk singles out behemoth tmeya, a person touches, not because sometimes there's a nivlas behemoth tmeya, a fetus, and if it would have been nivlas behemoth Torah, it wouldn't have been mitami. No, it says nivlas behemoth tmeya for the purpose of the gzera shava that Rebbe says on the next daf. They teach you that the chiyuv to bring a chatas olav yer by tumas migdash for kadoshav, he became tmei. It never says the punchline in Parshas Vayikra chapter. It never says what the averity did. Just become tmei, that itself is not. So that's what the Gemara says. If not for the drasha of Rabbi Yitzchak, you would never, who ticks you this, his drasha ticks you off to this concept that there's room to distinguish between the fetus inside, the dead fetus inside a live animal of a behemoth Torah, behemoth Tmeya. You would have never said the drasha on this pasuk of Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak. You would have said the whole drasha is needed. I love the Rabbi Yitzchak, Havaminu Kulei, the kid the Rebbe Hudiyosa. I would have said that whole pasuk. You need a whole long pasuk like that just to make a gzera shava. So Rashi quotes twice here and here. You have a klala de gemara. Sometimes this is machlokes hatanaim, but Rebbe, one might have thought, sometimes you have a parsha is repeated just to tell you one little detail. For example, Taken today said the mitzora. So it says the mitzora Osher brings karbonis behema. That if he can't afford it, he brings karbonis ha'oif. And a chas is over everything by the Oshim. Everything the Oshim is exactly the same as the is by the Mitzara Oshir. So why is the whole thing repeated? Everything is exactly the same. It should only repeat the part that's different by the Chata Soif is different. The Oshim is the same. Chata Soif and the Oilo Soif, that's different. So sometimes you have kola parasha kodesh and ember menishnas lenishin selibedovosh and ischarishbo. It tells you one little chiddush. So maybe that whole pasuk was only needed to tell you the one vort of Rebbe, the gzereshav of behemoth tmeya, to teach you that the chatas olav yorid only comes if he became tummy and he entered the Beis Hamikdash. That's time he became tummy. Became tummy, that's not enough. So that's what the Gemara says. If not for the drasha of Rabbi Yitzchak, we wouldn't have gotten off the ground. The drasha of Nachman Yitzchak wouldn't get off the ground. Kamash malon. So now the Gemara wants to know, what is the drasha of Rebbe? So they're going to start, Tanya, on Rabbi Yonason, is going to start a whole discussion. Sometimes you have, I'll just give the introduction, because it's going to be very long, till the Mishnah. Rashi HaChumash quotes this. Sometimes you have the pasuk talks about the din. There's a din of a chay and there's a din of a behemoth. The dinim are not the same. It's a osav es benoy only applies. You're not allowed to shecht osav es benoy. Only applies to behemoth. Doesn't apply to chay. Is a chaylev only applies to behemoth. Doesn't apply to chay. Kisi adam is only by chay. Doesn't apply to behemoth. Behemoth doesn't need kisi adam. What else? Zera lo chayim v'hakeva only applies. It's one of the Chof Dalet Matan's Kuna. You only have to give Zohar Chayim, that's called Matanis. You only have to give the, it's one of the Chof Dalet Matan's Kuna, but this one is called Matanis. The three, the Zohar Chayim Akeva, you only give it if you shech the behema. We don't do it in Chutz Lords. We follow that opinion. We follow, Rashi claims in the Gemara that we follow the Tana that you don't give Zohar Chayim Akeva in Chutz Lords. But in Eretz itself, for sure, you're supposed to give it. So there are differences between Chaya and behema. Yeah, the difference is in halacha. How do you determine what's the difference in a chay and a behemah? So the Gemara says it depends on the shape of the horns. So that's what the Shach says in Yerideya, that the Shach lived in Vilna, so he says it's not so easy to determine whether any given animal is a behemah or a chay. You have to know the shape of the horns. You have to know what they're supposed to look like. So he says we have a minig in Vilna that you only eat chaylev of a chay. Chaylev of a chay is mutter. The exact same chaylev in a chay is called shuman. in a bema is called cheder with an isa kor. It's in the exact same counterpart in a chai, the same part of the animal, is called shuman and is muta b'achila. So if you're being mater in isa koris, if you're eating cheder from a chaya, it's mutter. So the Shach says the minig is you only eat chaylev chaya if you have a tradition that this animal is a chay. If you don't have a tradition, it's hard for us to determine on our own that any given animal is a chay based on the shape of the horns. We're not such bekeem to know what the horns are supposed to look like. That's the Shach in Yeriday. So there is a difference between behem and chaya. There are differences la'alocha, as there's benoi, and chaylev, and kisi adam, and as well as chayim hakeva, and the differences have the shape of the horns. But sometimes you have a pasuk in Chumash that says Chaya and Behemah is included, and these four dinim is not the same. Chaylev and Osir is the dinim are clearly different. But generally speaking, when the Chumash says the word Behemah, Chaya will be included, and when the Chumash says the word Chaya, Behemah will be included. So the Gemara is going to prove that that is true. You have parshas in the Chumash where it says this is a din for all Behemahs, then it says a din for a Chaya. Then it says this is a din for a Chaya, then it says a din for a Behemah. So the Gemara shows that chay b'chal behema, behema b'chal chay. If it's not these four cases, then the Gemara says, with respect to what? So what? With respect to what dinim do you say the behema is b'chal chay, chay is b'chal behema? So the Gemara goes with respect to certain dinim. The Chumash says that if you have malager mafis parsa, it's a kosher animal. So the Gemara said that not only applies to behema, it applies to chay as well. Everything depends on mafis ger, malager mafis parsa. And then you have another pasuk, behem b'techolo sabia kilaim. You're not allowed to hide, you're not allowed to breed together two different animals. So the Chumash only says, behem b'techo. Maybe you're allowed to breed together two chayim. So the Gemara says, no, chayim b'chalab behem. Even though the pasuk by the simonim of maligar mafis parsa doesn't say by both, and behem b'techolo sabia kilaim doesn't say by both, but behem b'chalab chayim, chayim b'chalab behem. So the din is the same. The Gemara has a third din also, that the din is the same. So that's going to be the upcoming Brisa. That's what we're up to now. Okay, so later next week we'll talk about Pesach, and then after Pesach we'll continue with these Gemara. We're going to get back to Ben Pakula. These dinim are very relevant. The Tuma Blua for Chatzitzis and for Tuma. Tuma Blua is not Metame, Tar Blua is not Mekabal Tuma. Yeah. And today's Sedra, you have the marker for the whole din of Beis HaStorim. How do you know that Beis HaStorim is not mitame? How do you know when a person goes to the mikveh that he doesn't have to open up his mouth? Maybe he need be asmaim even in the Beis HaStorim. So the pasuk says, if a person is a zav, the yodav lo shotav b'mayim, and he didn't wash his hands, with water, and he touches somebody with his hands, if he was toivel in the mikveh, he touches someone, he's tohar. But if he wasn't toivel in the mikveh, that's maybe yodav lo shatav b'mayim. What? He didn't till us the dime, so the hands are tohar, the rest of the body is tamei. So in a tohar zazach, either the whole body is tamei, the whole body is tohar. You can't wash your hands and remove the tumah. You have to be toivel in the mikveh. Kol gufa b'rasachas. So the pasuk is very striking, loshen. Chayiga hazah b'tohar v'yodav lo shatav b'mayim. So the Gemara says it's a remez l'netilas yadayim. It's a very heavy remez. It talks about netilas yadayim. It can't be. There is no such thing. It can't be metad yadayim. So the Gemara says it's a remez. The Rabbanu Shalom was meramez to the Chachamim that he wanted them to introduce a takana de rabbanon of netilas yadayim. Okay, so that's a remez l'netilas yadayim. Sometimes you read things in between the lines of the psukim and you darshan it's a din derais, and sometimes you say it's a remez. The Rabbanu Shalom was meramis teracham, wanted them to introduce a din derabana, not a din derais. But on the level of derais, why does it say yodav? The Gemara says, my yodav mi baroi, I've called mi baroi. The hands are on the outside. So yodav lo shatav b'mayim, you only need tefillah on the outside part of the body, the outside surface. You don't have to open the mouth or open the eyes. You don't need bias mayim on the beis hastorim. But chatzitz and the beis hastorim will pass. Chatzitz and balua doesn't bother us. The chatzitz and the beis hastorim does bother us. So that's one drasha the Gemara has, that the yodav lo shatav b'mayim, you only need bias mayim on ibaroi, the parts of the body that are on the surface, on the outside. The beis hastorim does need bias mayim. Then the Gemara says, v'chiyiga hazav batomei, he touches with his hands, mi'ibaroi. Maga beis hastorim doesn't count. Let's say someone touches the zav by sticking their finger inside his mouth. He somehow transmits the tumah by touching them from his beis hastorim. So maga beis hastorim doesn't count. Maga doesn't count in the base time. Masa does, the Gemara says. If it will be Balua, there's no Tumas Masa either, because Balua is Kemisha Eino, Rashi writes there. But Maga Beis HaStarmas is excluded. So the Gemara says they both didim, that you don't need Bias Mayim inside the Beis HaStarim. And the Aloha that Maga Beis HaStarim is Amitam. Both based on the same phrase in the Pasuk. The Yodav, the striking Loshem, the Yodav Loshad Marim, why Yodav? So Yodav, my Yodav, Mi Baroi, I've called Mi Baroi, it excludes Maga Beis HaStarim, and it excludes Beis HaStarim, doesn't need Bias Mayim. And the Gemara says, the third comment on the level of the Rabbanan, this is a remez for Netilus Yadayim. There is a Prima Godim suggests that sometimes the Gemara has a din the Rabbanan and the Pasuk is only an Asmachta. So sometimes the Gemara will say, hey, it's an Asmachta Ba'alma. Sometimes the Gemara will say, Asmachta. So the Prima Godim thinks that there's a difference. He thinks Asmachta Ba'alma means that it's just a mnemonic device. You shouldn't forget the din the Rabbanan. You can make an Asmachta on the New York Times or on a telephone book. You can find that Rosh HaTevis in a telephone book also. But if it says Asmachta, doesn't say Asmachta B'yama, he thinks that means that was the author's intention. The Rebbeinu Shalom, when he dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a heavier Asmachta. The Yodav L'Shata B'amayim. The Rizav didn't wash until his Adayim. So the Torah is Ma'amish Merameh, the Rebbeinu Shalom wants the Chachamim to come up with the Takana in some later generation. That's a famous Ritva in the first Perek in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, "Mepneima omra Torah." Why does the Torah say you should blow? You should say Malchus Zechrinus and Shofes. So most assume that Malchus and Shofes is only the Rabban. So what does it mean? Why did the Torah say you should say Malchus and Shofes? It's only an Asmachta. So the Ritva quotes, "The Kibalnu Merabaseinu," probably means a tradition from the Ramban, and the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvah talks a little about this. That when the Gemara has the concept of an Asmachta, it's not just a mnemonic device. That this was really the Kavanah of the Rebbeinu Shlom. He dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that it should have a hidden meaning. So sometimes the hidden meaning was intended to be Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaTzvah Din Daraisa, and sometimes he was Meramis. What his Ratzin is that the Chachamim, he wanted the Chachamim in a later generation to come up with the Takana the Rabbanon. It won't be a Din Daraisa. So the Ritva has like that. And that's what basically the Pima Godim is saying the same. He says a difference between Asmachta and Asmachta B'yam. Anyway, this is a very striking lashon. Yodav lo shota b'mayim.